Back on Budweiser's From the Sidelines is presented by our friends over at North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. I'm Rocco Nucci, and he on the hotline is longtime sportscaster John Telitz. JT joins us to talk some Browns football and another tough one, JT, for the Brownies down there in Cincinnati against the Bengals. They go down to the jungle. They lose to Joe Burrow and company, brings them to 3-12 on the season. Obviously, postseason, you know, they were eliminated long ago. Cincinnati yep. looked like a team that was still clinging on for dear life, and it wasn't necessarily all bad for the Browns. There were some positive moments, but you know, as you sent me kind of on the pre-show notes, there were just too many plays that really, and to use your word or to steal your word here, epitomized the season that's been so far.
Yeah, it really was a case of that, and I think the aspect of having you know, the young running back Ford goes 66 yards down to about the 11-yard line, and then it looked like they were on the doorstep and they would be able to take a lead and then see how they could, you know, nurse that along as they try to hold back Joe Burrow in the offense. And everything's working great until, you know, Foreman gave up the football inches away from the goal line. And the craziest thing of all is that, you know, they had all those yards on that first drive, and then they basically did nothing the rest of the first half. And that was the most, not necessarily mind-boggling, because we've certainly had moments with the Brownies over the years, but it was one of the most frustrating things to see, that not only did they cough up the football on the doorstep, but then they allow the Bengals to go 99 yards and to cash in to get the lead in the game. And both of those aspects really did, in my mind, epitomize Browns football this year, because they're kings of the turnovers. And then the defense, once the vaunted aspect of Cleveland Browns football that we saw in 2023, it's like a toothless bear right now. Just not the factor that it used to be. And so that's what's the most frustrating part, to see Browns football on Sunday, if they fall to yet another loss with two games to go.
I do want to circle back around to the turnovers and how that relates, obviously, to the quarterback position, huge major concern for the Browns that will be need to be addressed this offseason. But I do want to talk about the post-game comments from Myles Garrett, and very strong post-game comments, very adamant about not really wanting to be a part of another rebuild, and who can blame him, right? But this is a guy that, you know, as he pretty much flat out said after that loss to Cincinnati, he is in no mood to try to rebuild this thing from ground zero, from scratch, however you want to phrase it. He wants to try to piece together a winner ASAP, basically. And JT, just kind of curious your thoughts on Myles and maybe the timing of that statement.
Well, first of all, I think it's not a coincidence that he went public with the HBO cameras in town for the Hard Knocks that they're doing with the AFC North in the last part of the season. So that he knew he had, you know, the podium, the audience to not only make those remarks resound within Berea or within Brown's land, if there is such a thing, but have those resound on the national level as well, putting and holding their feet to the fire. Now, this is not a phenomenon that's only towards the Cleveland Browns. This went on for years with one LeBron Ramon James, who would do the same type of thing. You know, I want to see where the team is before I sign. Now, Myles has 2 years left on his contract, and I don't think anybody's talking about any kind of an extension, and least of which him, because he wants to see what direction they're going to go in. So, you know, his points were well made, and from the heart. He wasn't just blowing this off, just, you know, in the heated moment. This what he said during the week in Berea, and then continued to say after the game in Cincinnati, well, ring true. Now, Jason Lloyd reported in The Athletic that he had considered doing the same kind of a thing 2 years ago when the Browns were in the midst of a 7-10 season, when they had, that was year one of Deshaun Watson, who was sitting out all those games due to a suspension. So It certainly has been on the mind of Miles for a couple of years now, and as it should be, because, you know, he came in 2017, and that was as low as it gets in Cleveland Browns football. And then here we have, all these years later, the stats bear it out. He's had four defensive coordinators. He's had three head coaches in those 8 years, and the Browns have one playoff win. One playoff win for a guy who one day will be in Canton. It's just unconscionable that a franchise has not backed up on a day-to-day basis the brilliance of their top player in Myles Garrett.
Is there enough to build on, though, JT? I mean, with all that we've seen this year, right, and guys that you were maybe expecting to take that step forward, maybe they haven't. Injuries have obviously loomed pretty large this year, but I mean, and who knows what happens with the front office and the coaching staff, right? But I mean, man, do you even have enough to really think, okay, yeah, we can piece together a winner next year? That's a pretty big conversation they'll need to have, won't they?
I'm going to go on the assumption that as much as people are upset, and they could obviously lose the next two games and be a 3-14 team, so I'm going to go under the assumption that that Haslam is going to not be the Haslam that he's been in the past, and actually show some some patience with the people that are in the front office. A lot of people are screaming to the howling at the moon right now hearing those remarks, but in many ways I could see the Haslams going in that direction, just backing their coach, backing their general manager, and having them try to figure a way to get out of this. You have so many holes to climb out of right now. You've got to satisfy a superstar in Myles Garrett. You have the albatross that is the contract of Deshaun Watson. You have the current quarterback situation, where DTR obviously is just going to be a career backup. I don't see anything more in the cards for him. You have Jameis for the rest of this year. Do you bring him back on a one-year deal? Do you go out and try to get Kirk Cousins for a year and see? I think the timing is bad for the franchise, too, in the sense that there is no Peyton Manning looming out there, coming off the campus of Tennessee with all that number one pick in the draft aura about him. There just isn't that player in the draft this year. So you either bite the bullet and trade away one of the greatest players your franchise has ever had and get all the resources that he would bring and have that help shoot you along the path towards respectability, or you have the superstar remain here. You don't know what you're going to do at quarterback. Maybe you just get the best, offensive lineman in the draft in your early pick next year and build it that way. They're really in a quandary, and certainly you'd like to sit here and play violins for them, but they were the ones that set up the stands. They're the ones in the concert hall that have played the music all along by going out and gambling so much of their franchise's resources to get to Deshaun Watson, and that's turned out to be just an unmitigated disaster.
Again, John Telich, our guest on this week's Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by our friends at North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Quickly, JT, I guess before we dive into this Dolphins matchup, a similar situation, right? Dolphins clinging on for dear life in terms of playoff chances. I think they need some help to get in it at this juncture anyway. But, you mentioned Kirk Cousins, some of the quarterback situation. I'm sure we could talk about this in one of our final episodes of the year. But, is that a name, a realistic name that Browns fans could be on the lookout for starting in 2025? Or are we still kind of a bit too early to start throwing names around like that?
No, his name really has been popping up in the last week or so. And, it does kind of make sense. They've committed down in Atlanta to Michael Penix. Why they gave the contract to Kirk Cousins in the first place had everybody in the league scratching their heads, but they did, and here they are. And the Browns would be able to get a player like this with not much cost on their own because of the guaranteed situation that Kirk Cousins has money-wise that the Falcons would be paying for. And the other reason why it would make sense, and people have brought it up, is the history that Kirk Cousins has in Minnesota, or had, rather, with one Kevin Stefanski. So, you know, Stefanski might be a softer landing spot in Kirk Cousins' mind at this stage in his career, because the familiarity each has with one another and the offensive system that they're both familiar with. So that's why everybody has connected the dots, I think, with Kirk Cousins, whether or not they go that route. There's other names out there, Andy Dalton. I could throw a bunch of names. I think I had them all ready to go in our interview last week. And, you know, you're just at a point now where they've got to solve that position. You know, they do have some promising young players. They do have some kids that, you know, look at JLK. Okay, that was a great draft pick, but mm-hmm. when you get down to what Andrew Berry has done, you know, drafting over the past several years, I think I brought it up last week, he's only had two guys go to their second contract, and that's just not how you do it, long-standing way to build your football team. You just can't do it with that little success in turning guys over to their second contract. So, boy, they really are in a quandary, and two games to go. They're taking on Miami. That will be a 4 o'clock game, to my estimation. I don't think they moved that to 1 o'clock.
It's a 4, but, yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, they've cost themselves national TV this year because their team has been so horrific. But that's the state we are in right now as we record this just a couple of days before the guy comes down the chimney.
Well, that'll certainly be a bright spot for many Browns fans here in Northeast Ohio, no question about that. So we can quickly talk about this Dolphins game, JT. Not a whole lot to dive into necessarily. Does the tank keep on tanking for the Browns, or do they show some signs of life on Sunday and give the Finns a little trouble when they come to town? What do you say?
Well, I think it's, you know, the joke is that the Miami can't play in the cold weather and all those types of things, but I think, you know, you're looking at on Sunday of this week, it might be warmer than what we're experiencing right now as we tape this a couple of days before Christmas. So, you know, that might help out the visitors. But bottom line is that it's you know, the last chance, you know, playing in front of family and friends and those types of things. And it certainly would be a nice way for them to at least put some smiles on faces. But in many ways, you would be playing Grinch to the fans that want to see the Browns have the highest available draft pick coming up this year if they were to somehow stumble and bumble their way towards a victory against the Dolphins. Christ, anything could happen right now, Rocco. You know that.
Those are always the friendliest social media conversations, aren't they, JT? You got the fans that are like, lose, 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 we need draft position. And then you got the other fans, no, we want to see a win every now and again. Come on. And boy, a quandary, I think, was your word for it earlier in the segment, right, yeah. JT? I mean, my goodness gracious, it's... Oh, can't believe we're here. Can't believe we're here. But here we are, so it is what it is.
All right. We are, yes.
So, Browns and Dolphins this Sunday. It is a 4 o'clock kick, again, this Sunday for the Brownies. We'll see what they can muster up against those Dolphins. And, hey, like we said, if you lose, you maybe improve that draft position. So, not the end of the world necessarily there. All right, JT. Like you said, recording this before Christmas. This will air after. So, Merry Christmas to you and yours. And looking forward to breaking things down with you next week.
Yeah, thanks for everything this season. Look forward to a few more of these episodes. But to everybody out there, have a very, very Merry Christmas. And obviously, a happy new Browns year with new hope and new dedication.